Hello, folks. My name is Jim Metzler, and I'm very pleased to be here today with two of my colleagues, Stephen Taylor and Tony Hurtado. We're going to spend a little time having a conversation around the customer experience with MPLS. Now, Steve, you're the co-founder, along with myself, of Kubinen. Very pleased to have you here today to talk about your market research. So welcome, Steve.
Thanks very much, Jim.
And Tony, you're the VP of Global Marketing with Masergy. I'm also pleased to have you here today to give us the insight of your company into just that. What is the customer experience with MPLS? Now, that being said, Steve, please give us some of the highlights of the research you've been conducting.
Thanks very much, Jim. And Tony, thank you very much both for being with us today and also for Masergy's support of this particular research that we did. I'm going to make this more of a conversation than reading slides to you and presenting slides, because there's a companion white paper that will be the more formal piece. Basically, what we did here is research in the last half of 2007 among the Webtorial space, and the salient points are that even though there was a mix of people who responded to the research, we limited the findings here to people who actually had deployed MPLS and who completed the entire questionnaire. This was about a 65% North American database, and there are lots of details for this available for you in the appendix. Now, looking at the key findings from the 50,000-foot level, basically, at this point, MPLS is a mainstream technology, and that's one of the reasons we did this research, was to go from, gee, are you going to do MPLS, when's MPLS going to be here, to saying, now that you have MPLS, what are you going to do with it, how do you like it, what's working, what's not working? And the bottom line is that people are pretty satisfied with their networks, but we also found out, and as you'll see as we get into this, the more granular we get in terms of asking questions, the more we find the nits that still show that there's a ways to go here, that not only means that we can make the services better, but it also means from a customer perspective that these are the types of things you might be looking for product differentiation. Now, just to give you a quick, very quick overview as to the folks who responded, I said that it had become mainstream, and as you can see here, over 60% of the folks who responded to the questionnaire already have MPLS-based VPNs in use, and in fact, it's the most widely used. Of course, you have to always be a little bit suspicious if you're doing a questionnaire on MPLS that folks who've deployed MPLS are going to be the ones who respond. But nevertheless, just to justify that we have the right community here, both we have lots of folks who are already using MPLS or have it in production. And also, as you'll notice here, we have many of them, in fact, almost two-thirds, 58%, who are in the deployment stage. Now, when you get to a technology like MPLS, it becomes very interesting to try to measure these various parameters around it, because you can say, how happy are you with a given part of the service? But then you also have to temper that with, okay, how important is each part of this service? So let's say that you're extremely happy with the price of eggs, but you don't ever eat eggs. Then it becomes kind of meaningless. So what we've tried to do here is to actually ask two questions about each of a number of the five areas, as you see here, the MPLS experience, buying and delivery process, et cetera, but to ask folks both how happy they are with that and how important it is. So if you look at slide number 8, you'll see here, if we plot it out with the traditional bar graphs, that we ask folks how happy they are, which are the red bars. Actually, it's the inverse of happy in this case, because we found that it was easier to get people to identify something that they were dissatisfied with than what they were satisfied with. So the actual questions were asked on dissatisfaction. And then, as you'll see in a moment, we're making the assumption that inverse of dissatisfaction is satisfaction. So when we're talking about satisfaction, very fine point here, but one that's just important to make sure for editorial integrity that we stress is that the actual question was asked about dissatisfaction. Also, we asked them to rank three areas for importance, two areas for satisfaction, and consequently we had to do some normalization so that everything turned out to be comparing apples to apples. But going back again now to slide number 8, you'll notice, for instance, that reliability and TCO were the two winners in terms of importance, but were not necessarily the winners in terms of satisfaction. And then when you look at satisfaction, the area that there was the least satisfaction was on time to deliver new services, but at the same time, it was really far down in terms of the importance. So we were faced with the challenge of how do we take this and how do we make it into something that's meaningful so we can present it to you in a way that makes sense and gives us something to work from. So what we did, and details of this are on slide 9 if you want to look at them exactly, but what we basically did was find the average of satisfaction and the average of importance and make that the zero or neutral point from which to plot and then make it into the type of quadrant that you see on slide number 10. Now, slide number 10 I do want to spend just a moment on because the rest of the presentation is pretty much based on this methodology here. If you look at slide number 10, what we are plotting here is on the horizontal axis, you'll see it says relative importance. So things get more important as they move to the right. On the vertical axis, you'll see relative normalized dissatisfaction. And you'll also notice that it's plotted from 1 at the bottom to -1 at the top. Okay, let's get around all of that. What that really means is that things in the upper left-hand corner, well, the upper right-hand corner, the green zone, are things that are important and that people are relatively satisfied with, i.e. low dissatisfaction. Those are the things that are happening in a good way in the industry. If you look at the lower right-hand quadrant, the red zone, those are the things that are important and customers are dissatisfied with. Those are the areas that really, really need to be addressed. Now, if you look at the upper left-hand, where we labeled monitor, those are the things that are not as important, but people are relatively happy with. So it's kind of, okay, status quo, but don't spend a lot of energy here. And then on the lower left-hand are the things that people don't see as important, but there are things they're still dissatisfied with. So those are the ones that need some degree of attention, but they're certainly not as important as the things that are in the red zone. So I hope that makes sense, and I think it'll make even more sense as we move on to the individual slides. So let's do that. Let's move on to slide number 11. And what we see here is where we plotted the responses for the current MPLS VPN experience, where we said, how happy are you currently with each of these various areas? And there's some things here that really stand out. First of all is that reliability and TCO are the most important in terms of relative importance. And reliability, folks are pretty happy with. TCO, just a little below the norm, but I don't really see that as being a major, oh my God, type issue. It's really more of an issue that says, gee, maybe folks might not be quite as happy as they thought they were going to be so far as saving a lot of money with MPLS. Lots of reasons that could be surrounding that. It could have to do with unrealistic expectations in the first place. It could have to do with service price as compared to the entire price of cost of doing business there, et cetera. Yes.
You know, I really want to focus on that for a second, you know, the total cost of operations, because you made a comment I think might be very insightful here, which is in terms of expectations. Because whenever I've done market research into either TCO of an existing service or willingness to pay for a new service or product, et cetera, it's always been really challenging. It's been very rare on my part to find someone that says, I am really ecstatic about the pricing of that product or service. So I actually look at this, the fact that the total cost of operations is really right on that axis. It's actually very positive.
Yes, I totally agree. Very, very good point there.
And I'm also intrigued, there's absolutely nothing in the red zone, so to speak.
Yes, and I think that, as you'll see in one of the ending slides, basically people from a high-level, macro level, if you will, are pretty happy with MPLS services, which is the very good news here.
Well, if you take a look at this graphic, and I really do want to spend just a few moments on this, because I think that if we can spend a couple of minutes on this, Steve, it'll help, you know, them to understand graphic 10 and what this means. As you had said, if I look at this, my first thought is, wow, all of those red dots, if you will, they're in the satisfaction range.
Yes.
That's a very strong visual in my mind. Now, the fact that, you know, on that upper left, that those particular issues, simplicity, ease of use, weren't that important, well, that's fine. But I see most of these things being in the, we're basically satisfied, or we're not unsatisfied, excuse me, with this. So I get some very strong feedback from this. And again, I think it's just important to discuss it so people really understand, you know, the kind of graphic representation you described in 10 and what that means for this particular data.
Yeah, and there are a couple that I think are really kind of interesting here also in terms of what users see as being important and what sometimes the marketeers see as being important. For instance, web portal management capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, yes, folks are satisfied with it. It's okay. But on the importance, it's like, we really don't care because so long as we can, as we'll see in a bit later, so long as we can get the services up and running and they're there and stable, we don't care about being able to go in and micromanage the web portal there.
Yeah, that is interesting. Because, I mean, again, to your point, the two topics that were basically all the way to the right in terms of importance, reliability and cost, okay, that makes an awful lot of sense. There's pretty much of a good-sized gap, Steve, between that and really the next factors there, security and availability.
Yes.
So as I look at this, it really jumps off the page again is that those two topics by far, reliability, excuse me, and cost, are by far the most important characteristics. And to your point, things like web portal management, which is a very nice to have, is just that, nice to have. I'm also intrigued, though, the relative unimportance of mean time to repair. Do you interpret that as that the service stays up so much that the MTTR is not that interesting?
That's all that I can attribute it to, and also the users were asked to choose the top three, and were limited to choosing three.
Okay.
So
you know,
I'd
really like to throw this over to Tony. You know, Tony, you have an awful lot of contact with customers. You know, how does this graphic resonate relative to what you're hearing?
This absolutely reflects our experience, Jim, in providing MPLS services. As you know, Masergy was one of the first providers of global MPLS networking. And we found early on there were issues around security, reliability, some of the things that now we as an industry have worked to improve that we didn't start here. We've ended up growing here. And I think that just talks to the importance and the focus the industry has on those things that customers are telling us are important. And I think what you're going to see is over time, things like web portal capabilities and the management, simplicity and ease of use, these things are going to emerge in their importance as the table stakes issues of security, reliability, total cost of operations, those things get addressed and become table stakes. These other things now become true differentiators. And so I think we're just looking at a snapshot in time that is a great reflection of our experience and what we're hearing and seeing out there in the market. And I think we're going to continue to monitor this to see what are the pieces, the elements that continue to grow in importance that maybe aren't being met. So I suspect we're going to start seeing some movement towards importance and dissatisfaction over time, and that will be great information for service providers to look at and begin to address.
Now that makes good sense. I mean, any technology or service relatively early on, I know MPLS is not that early on, but relatively early on is making it rock solid, and later on we'll worry about things like, you know, web portal type things. You know, I think one more thing that jumps out at me, though, Tony, tell me what you're seeing is, you know, industry pundits have this almost need to focus on SLA, SLA, SLA. If I look at where that came out on this, it's almost right, you know, where the two axes come together. It's kind of important, kind of not important, they're kind of satisfied, etc. What are you hearing from people?
Well, actually, this does reflect what our experience is as well in terms of importance to customers. And I think some of it has to do with just the nature of the technology. You know, one of the advantages of MPLS is the automatic fast failover with routes that can allow for very high performance, very low latency for applications. In fact, for our voice and video applications, we guarantee 100% packet delivery from site to site to anywhere in the world. And you get that because of the technology and its capabilities. And when you're doing that and you have, you know, automatically redundant paths, that becomes less of an issue because customers just aren't experiencing downtime, so mean time to repair, which was a big issue in older networks and legacy technology, becomes less of an issue in MPLS networks.
Well, that's really good insight. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, that is. And, of course, we have to mention the elephant in the middle of the room, which is time to deliver new services and circuits. And I think what we see here and why it's so far and off the 0 points for both axes here is that, and I think we'll get to this more later, is that, yeah, people are very dissatisfied with the time or have a high degree of dissatisfaction here. But at the same time, it's not something that's all that important. And I think what we're going to see on some of the later slides that I'm going to start moving to is that it's not so much, yeah, we're dissatisfied with this as it is wanting realistic expectations set. And so with that, I think I'd like to move on to slide number 12, the buying and evaluation process. Obviously, pricing is important here, way more than anything else. And it's interesting that people are relatively not dissatisfied. So this, I think, indicates that the industry is looking at pricing from a relatively relative realistic perspective in terms of the fact that that they say, hey, this is a service, we're going to save a little money, but we know we're also going to have to pay for it. When we look at this, though, and look to the things that are on the unimportant, to me, again, also important ability to deliver on commitments, slight dissatisfaction there, but not a great amount. Reputation of service provider, everybody did very well on. But let's look at the things that are on the unimportant side here and, again, how people are viewing this. And Jim and Tony, when we were talking about the reliability and TCO on the prior slide, I was ready to use the word utility. And I think we're seeing MPLS services becoming a utility. And I think that also has a huge impact on the buying and evaluation process. And in particular, two of the things that stand out to me on the unimportant and also less satisfaction are the ones that are on the sales team's understanding of your business needs, the technical knowledge of the sales teams, and the sales team's ability to provide informed options, which basically says that I'm reading this as saying what the customers are buying this as is as a utility. They want to know how the service works. They want to know that it works. They want to know that it works well, but they don't necessarily want the solution sale in terms of, hey, we already know what the problem is. We know the solution is an MPLS network. Just give us the, as Sergeant Friday would say, just the facts, ma'am, and for two-thirds of our audience, that probably went right over their heads. But nevertheless, what we're looking at here is the fact that we're really looking here at a utility buy at this point as opposed to a solution and more of a tactical than strategic buy. Does that resonate with either of you?
Well, see, they put a little bit of a spin on that because I tend to think that that's a big bulk of what we're seeing. But, you know, I used to run corporate networks for a couple of Fortune 500 companies, and I didn't need the salespeople to be all that technical and informed and whatever else like that. I did need them to get me access to the people inside their companies who had that depth of technical knowledge. So maybe a little bit of play on words. I look for a sales team that's effective, that can, you know, escalate where it's required, that can get me the answers, et cetera, versus having a sales team with an in-depth knowledge of the technology itself.
Okay. Great.
Steve, this is Tony. I wanted to comment on that as well, because I think, again, it goes back to a little bit of our experience and what we've seen in the MPLS market over time. I think early on, we saw technical knowledge and know-how become very important, particularly for services for early adopters who were wanting to figure out the technology. They understood there were some price constraints possibly, but they really wanted to take advantage of the other benefits of MPLS. As the technology has proven itself, as we've had the fast followers and others begin to move into the market, we've now moved into that early majority stage where the bulk of the market is looking at using, as the slides earlier demonstrated, they're using MPLS technology. And that bigger audience does tend to be a little more price sensitive. So I think we have seen this move. Pricing used to be less of important than some of the other features. And now I think they understand generally what's out there. I think to Jim's point, they want to get information from some people, but now they're looking to get a good deal from people. And there is a subset, though, within the industry that still values that relationship with the provider, that partnership and collaboration with the sales team, that wants to really get in and understand the solution sell and that buy. And we deal and target that market, but that's a smaller piece of the overall early majority. I think the bulk of the market understands the technology, are moving to it from legacy technologies, and they're looking to get a good price and cost savings, and that's what's driving a lot of that decision.
Okay. Great insight there. I think the next slide is very interesting, particularly if we, again, reference back briefly to slide 11, where we were talking about the fact that the time to deliver new services and circuits was not that important and people were very dissatisfied. I think if we look at slide number 13, this is the first one that we have two major issues that are in what we've been calling the red zone here. And the most important red zone issue here was meeting commitments for installation times and the ability to coordinate circuit installation. I think that what we're seeing here is that it's not so important when something happens, but it's very, very, because you'll notice time for circuit installation is very unimportant, but meeting commitments for installation times is important. And I think that's what we're seeing here is on the delivery and installation is folks are relatively happy with something once it happens, but boy, they're very unhappy if the commitment times are not met. And that's something that is absolutely critical, because when you're doing the move to MPLS, then you're really making a major cutover in terms of this. And there's probably even a need for a special team within the company and within the service provider. And you'll notice that very good marks here for the service providers in terms of a single point of contact to make sure that once you say it's going to happen on June 25th, it happens on June 25th, and that it's ready to go and ready to roll at that time. Tony, any from your side, does this resonate with what you're seeing?
Absolutely, Stephen. In fact, I think this reflects a little bit of what we saw on the previous slide as well, that talked about the company's ability to deliver on commitments was a little bit lower than average on the dissatisfaction scale. And we're seeing that reflected here as well. Our experience is that the sales team is a critical piece in setting up expectations for the customer. And when the sales team is in sync with not only the SLAs, but with the processes of the back office and the provisioning team and what and how they work, you get a very strong partnership and relationship that gets communicated to the customer so they know what to expect and when. But when there is a little bit of imbalance, what happens is the sales team is making the sell, but they're not setting the right expectations, and we see it show up on the delivery side on circuit installation. And in many cases, it's not necessarily the delivery team's fault. They're following their processes and meeting their SLAs, but that's not exactly what was communicated to the customer. And it gets a little more complicated as well when you move from, you know, basically standard IP pipes or frame relay to MPLS, where you're oftentimes taking advantage of the various levels of QoS. And so now there's additional tagging of the applications and testing and services. So it's not just the Circus installation, but it's the activation and all the other pieces that go along with it. And sometimes I think people underestimate the time it takes to get all of that set up and in place.
And I think probably that's something that's not only an issue on the side of the service provider, but also an issue that there's a need for better understanding, training, and realistic expectations on the part of the customer. Because let's face it, when you went from a private line to frame relay, you basically didn't have to change anything on the router. I mean, it kind of was a no-brainer there. But in terms of how routers interact with an MPLS service, it could mean even changing the basic routing protocol. So there's a lot going on there.
Exactly. And I think this is, we're seeing that. I mean, this reflects our experience a little bit, although we actually get pretty strong marks in this area in general, but I think some of that has to do with the fact that we've been delivering MPLS services for some time now. We were one of the early providers, the first to offer it globally. And so we have that experience. We've gone through that process, and now we've improved our processes to give our customers a much stronger experience in this area.
Okay, excellent. Moving on to slide number 14, since we're talking about we're kind of moving from delivery and installation to support. We ask explicitly about support, and really no surprises on number 14. First of all, the good news, timeliness in resolving a problem or issue is far and away the most important, and that certainly, and it's slightly positive, which is pretty good. We'd like to see it higher, but hey, so long as it's in the green zone, we're not bad. On the red zone, proactive communication concerning network outages, congestions, et cetera, certainly an opportunity there for the service providers to be a little more communicative. I find the going down the importance scale, maybe it's for across all interests, all industries, and I find it interesting that the ability to talk to a live person at the NOC is people are very satisfied with. However, they're very dissatisfied with that person knowing something. So I think just having a warm body to answer the phone doesn't really necessarily mean that you're going to get the answers that you want. And so that's certainly an opportunity there for those two to come closer together so that the technical knowledge of the person has as much satisfaction as the fact that there was a person there. Then moving from the personal to the impersonal, I think once again this was reflected some in the web-based tools that we talked about on the very first slide. Having tools offered to modify the network services yourself, people are not satisfied with that, but they also really don't care that it's not that dynamic a network. Jim, are we kind of along the areas that you're seeing here on this?
Well, one thing that confuses me on slide 14, Steve,
yeah,
is you pointed out quite clearly, if you just take a look at the slide, you say, wow, timeliness in resolving your problem or issue, that's really important. You have to go back just a couple of slides, mean time to repair, it didn't seem to be that important. So I'm kind of struggling to understand what the message from those two slides are around that kind of a topic.
Steve, if I can comment on that,
yeah,
I think that part of that we see in experience at Masergy, mm-hmm, is we've taken a different approach for the enterprise. We give proactive notification. In fact, our SLA is 5 minutes notification from when we detect an error on the circuit or whatever. It could be a cut local access loop. It could be a power outage or somebody just, you know, is moving a piece of video equipment. We notify customers, and what's so important about that is that lets them know that we're in charge. We're working on the issue right away. This isn't something that they've got to go now figure out. Is it my wide area network provider? Is it something in the local network? Is it the local access provider? They want us focused on fixing those issues, getting it resolved, because let's face it, in the enterprise space, there's no waiting till next business day to get it fixed. You've got to fix it now. And as long as we're communicating them and letting them know with them and letting them know what we're doing, we find that they worry less about the network and they really focus more on the application performance and how is this impacting application performance. And I think that may be why we start seeing less of a discussion on some of the more traditional network issues, mean time to repair, et cetera, and really going back to how is this impacting my application performance. And with us working on the issues, constantly monitoring their traffic and engaging them proactively in a conversation about what's going on, those conversations tend to focus on how the applications are doing, what we're seeing, what do we need to do to fix it, and that just becomes the nature of the conversation more often than not.
Well, that's interesting, Tony, because I'm doing a lot of work on application delivery these days, and I've talked to a number of IT organizations, and where they're trying to head is if there's an issue with anything, a network server, whatever it is, they want to be able to alert the end user organizations. So just as you're talking about your company wanting to alert, I'll say the network group, the people I'm talking to want to take whatever the information is and get it across to their end users to build that kind of confidence. You know, we're on top of this. We know there's an issue. It's about setting, you know, expectations, confidence, et cetera. So it's really interesting to see how you're kind of dovetailing into what I see end users wanting to do.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something, Jim. The thing we find and actually hear from some of our customers is I am so glad that I'm hearing from you and not from my clients that there's a performance issue in the network. Because if the client is telling them, hey, what's going on, there's a problem, and they don't even know about it, they're starting out in a pretty deep hole. And by proactively notifying them and working with them, they can at least share that confidence with their client that they're on top of it and they're aware of it and they're getting the issue addressed.
Tony, you've probably hit the biggest hot button that I have relative to application delivery, and that is that about three-quarters of the time, if there's a problem, the end user knows it before the IT group does. And I was talking to a CIO about that concept about a month or so ago. I said, does that apply in your group? He said, yeah, Jim, it absolutely does. I said, what's the impact of that? He said, Jim, that makes us look like bumbling idiots. And I see an awful lot of IT groups trying to move away from that bumbling idiot syndrome in terms of working with service providers, deploying tools, to be more aggressive and understand there is an issue and then communicating that to the end user.
You know, that's exactly right. I mean, that is our experience. And, in fact, why we created a tool, our network management tool called Network Analyst, which is actually an embedded service. So there's no hardware or software. It's actually embedded in our network. It's available through a web portal. But that tool, it's constantly looking at the network performance, looking at the traffic in a number of different ways. And what it's doing also is it's testing it against policies that are set by the network administrator at the enterprise who's setting alerts, you know, warning and danger thresholds, et cetera. So it's not just us calling to alert them that something's going on. We've got tools that give that information right away, and they're setting the parameters for when they want to be alerted and who they want to be alerted at a particular location. So it's just one more step towards what you're talking about, which is getting them the information quickly, so they can start addressing it and that they can do what they do best, which is manage the corporate applications.
Great, Tony.
Okay. Yeah, and Jim and Tony, I want to get back to the issue that Jim started this with, which was the apparent disparity between, on slide number 11, that very high overview, mean time to repair being relative low importance, and then on support, timeliness in resolving issue being relatively high importance. If you'll notice back on slide 11, the two most important things were reliability and total cost reduction. So I think the reason we saw mean time to repair as low importance on slide 11 was because it's much more important not to have the issue in the first place. But if you have the issue, then getting it resolved in a timely manner is the most important. At least that's my take on that. So yes, there is an apparent disparity there, but I think that's the explanation as to why we learned a lot by drilling down to the level that we did here. Because if you look at it, we ask about roughly 30 to 40 different specific issues and have answers on each of them, which really we're trying to deal and say, okay, here is which are important. What does a total experience look like made up from these? Moving on to slide number 15, billing. Actually, this is probably the quickest of all of the slides to talk about. It's important for the bills to be accurate. It's important for the bills to be simple, and people are not overly satisfied with that. Obviously, things like payment options came out relatively low there. Fairness with which the questions are resolved, fine. Timeliness of the bill, everybody's very happy that, hey, they got their bill on time. That's not exactly but it's also not overly important there. Details supporting taxes, not all that important, not all that satisfied, but that doesn't matter. Tony, what do you think we can be done to move the simplicity and the accuracy from the red zone to the green zone?
Well, I think Tony should answer that. I just want to make an observation. If you go back through all the slides, this is the first slide that we've really had such strong bullets in the red zone. And it's so ironic, Steve, because you go back and think about MPLS and all the discussions of the enabling technologies and the security it provides and all this and that and something else, and we don't really talk a whole lot about billing, and yet going through your research here, it really jumps out at me. And this is obviously, it's been an issue forever with Frame Relay ATM. It's not a new thing with MPLS, but it continues to be a very important issue, and yet we spend more time talking about service classes and how to map, applications to them. Tony, what are you seeing in terms of, both your own billing systems, but just in general buzz from customers around billing?
Jim, I think you're absolutely right that what we see here is reflecting a broader industry problem or challenge, and that is that we as an industry tend to focus on the network and the tools and the technology, and things like billing and other parts of the customer experience really become afterthoughts. Rather than starting with the focus of, look, we're about delivering a networking experience, and we realize there are a wide range of activities and interactions that impact that, the solutions, the collaboration, the delivery, the support, but certainly billing and collections is an important part of that experience as well. And Masergy, when we created the company, we focused on this. We knew that this was a huge problem for the industry and for our customers. In fact, many times they have bodies or sometimes departments that do nothing but go through their telecommunication bills to figure out, are they accurate, what's wrong, and get that taken care of. We started with a different philosophy that said the customer is entitled, not just should have, but is entitled to get a bill that reflects the services that they've contracted for, and that bill is easy to read and understand what they're paying for. And if you do that, you have to find out how do you deliver that system, how do you deliver that accurate bill. But if you do that, you completely change that experience for the customer. And in fact, it's one of the pieces of this cycle that we describe that takes you back to more orders, more services, additional business from that customer, rather than something where they dread having to pay the bill. And our experience has been actually very positive in this area. We get a lot of kudos from our customers, and in fact, we tend to get our bills paid before they're actually due. But that comes from delivering the services that they want, listing the services, and doing it in a way that's simple and easy to read, so there's no surprises. Every other industry tends to do this pretty well. We've struggled as an industry, and at least telecommunications has had problems around this, and I think we're starting to get better, but clearly we're nowhere near where we need to be as an industry, and this chart shows that.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. I have to go to slide 16, which I think kind of says it all, is that we talked a lot about where we are, where we're going, where we can do better, but overall, we end up, after going through all of this detail, with asking the key question, would you recommend this to an industry colleague or peer who's not one of your competitors? And 88% of the people would. 88% of the people really are basically happy with their service, and I think that kind of says it all.
Well, Steve, thanks for that insight. You certainly provided a lot of very interesting data around MPLS and what people are responding to and where they still feel challenged. Now, Tony, during that conversation, you've given us a lot of insight about your company and their products, but can you give us a little more detail and some more insight into, again, your company, your products, and what you're seeing in the marketplace?
Sure. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, and there are slides here that the listener and viewer can look at, but I think it's important to understand about Masergy that we focus on the customer experience. We've spent a lot of time talking about that. Our emphasis is on the enterprise space. And we've focused on delivering a number of new services to customers that are focused on allowing them to have a stronger experience, to provide better services to their clients, and ultimately to continue to do business with Masergy and allow us to grow with them. The next slide really talks about the major differentiators, and this touches upon where we play in this space and what our success is driven by, which is we offer a seamless global service delivery. That is, all of our services are available at every location for customers, and it just has to do with how we've architected our global IP/MPLS network. We offer embedded services, so whether it's network management that I mentioned before or other services, the portal, the web-based portal that allows you to make changes to your services, customers can go in and use that tool and go in and make changes, and all of that's embedded in the network, so there's nothing they need on their side. It's easy to access and to use. But I think the primary message about Masergy is we focus on delivering the best-in-class customer experience. And the next slide really lays this out a little bit more to take the broader messaging around solutions, collaboration, delivery, support, and billing that we've talked about, and show how we view them, how we look at each of these touch points with our customers, and focus on how we can make each of those areas better. And that broader comprehensive approach to the customer experience that looks beyond just the NOC or the customer support center really is key to understanding our vision for where the industry is going and what enterprise customers want. And if you look at the last slide here that talks about these service differentiators, there are just some examples that individuals can look at and read to get a better understanding of how we translate this messaging and thinking around the customer experience to actual services, activities, processes, and the people that we hire. All of that gets translated into delivering the kind of customer experience that we promise our customers. There's more information on our website that allows you to go in and drill down in each of these areas, but I think it gives you a sense of how important this area is to Masergy and why we've had so much success in this space.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. And Jim, thanks for moderating today. And any final comments, Jim, from your side?
Well, I think it's really interesting, Steve. Because we've been talking about MPLS for a long time. We've seen, as you demonstrated, quite a, you know, an adoption of it. And it really is interesting. I think, you know, Tony hit upon it, that we're really at a transition point from where it's becoming less and less about the technology and more about other things. You know, billing, we certainly talked about the communications around delivery, et cetera. So, you know, Tony, I think you used the phrase of early majority, et cetera. I really have gotten the sense from both, you know, the conversation with Tony, but, you know, Steve, you're very detailed market data that we really are at a transition point in terms of MPLS adoption. Again, it's less and less about, ooh, this new, tough, demanding technology, and it's more about, again, how I manage it and how I really add value to the company.